to the center of the camp, I believe that the Lord is showing us that, you know, we can be at various places in our walk. Some of us, you know, we really hunger for the Lord. We desire to be where the Lord is. Maybe many of us are just kind of, you know, we're here, we're saved, we're, you know, the Lord's given us good things, we've experienced good things, but we don't really know Him like we should. And then there's others who, they're just there. They, you know, they come on Sundays to church. Maybe they're more than just the Christmas and Easter Christians, but they're just there, and they've got all kinds of issues, and they really don't know the Lord. And I want to encourage all of us this morning to get to a place where we are really seeking the Lord to know Him. So let me just open in prayer. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to preach Your word, God. I pray, Lord, that Your anointing would be upon me this morning, Lord God, that the words I say would not be my words, Lord, but that they would be Your words, God. I desire so much to just speak for You, Lord God, and to just be a willing and humble servant who's willing to open his mouth, God. I pray that You would anoint the ears of those who are here and those who are at home watching, God. I just pray that Your Spirit would have Your way here in this place and in our homes this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you, Gideon, for this gift that says God loves you, and it's a picture of a tree with a cardinal. He gave that to me this morning. Did you? you know, that I've said this in the past, but the children are such a blessing. Yes. You know, for so many years, I didn't really like kids. I'll just be honest with you. I really didn't. People would say, oh, you must love kids. You got four kids. I'm like, yeah, I love my kids. But the Lord has changed me so much, and He's really shown me the wonderful blessing that they are. Yes. Even at times when they get a little rambunctious in the sanctuary, I think it was Aaron that said, you know, that's just signs of life, the noise that comes. And, you know, we can get a little noisy ourselves at times, but that's life, and it's a blessing. And it's the Lord has really, He's shown me what a blessing these kids are. So in a world that hates family and hates children, that's aborting them at every opportunity they can, the Lord is blessing His church with so many young ones. So, praise God. So, anyways, so get to the center of the camp. I want to start in Numbers chapter 11. That is Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Numbers 11, 1. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. The thing I want you to see in this passage is that, first of all, you got people dwelling on the outskirts of the camp. And we're going to look at the camp a little bit and see how this was arranged. But those who were on the outskirts of the camp, they were the ones that were kind of causing trouble in this. They were the complainers, and they brought the Lord's anger, and they were consumed in fire. So before I get into that more, I want to look at the camp. So if we look in Numbers 2, and I'm not going to read through it, but when you get a chance, if you want to read through Numbers chapter 2, and you will see the layout of the camp, the Israeli camp. So this is before the construction of the temple. This is when Israel is in the wilderness. Really, you know, this kind of started from the point when they left Egypt until it should have ended with them entering the promised land, but they ended up wandering through the desert for 40 years and then finally entered the promised land. But God gave them specific instructions on how the camp should be laid out whenever they came to a rest. When that pillar of cloud, that pillar of fire would stop, they were to set up camp and they were to remain until God began to move. So, just very quickly, the Israeli camp, we see instructions that on the east side, so in the center, you've got the tabernacle, that's being built. And this is where Moses and Joshua, they would go in and they would meet with God, and the cloud would descend. But all around that, you've got the 12 tribes of Israel. And on the east side, it was specifically instructed that Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun would be on the east side. On the south side, you'd have Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. The west side would be Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. And on the north side would be Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. So what's interesting, nobody really knows fully what exactly that looked like, but in some of the artist renderings I've seen of this, because the tribes weren't all equal in size, it actually resembles the form of a cross when it's laid out in that. Just a side note. But you'll notice that in that layout, the Levites are not included in that. The tabernacle was in the center, and the Levites were actually camped all around the tabernacle in that center with all the tribes around them. And the reason for that is Levi did not receive an inheritance of land, whereas the rest of the tribes did. Levi did not receive that. Their inheritance was the Lord. Each of the tribes received this inheritance, except the Levites. The Levites were the chosen tribe that the priesthood came from. So we see this group of people that are encamped all around the tabernacle. Imagine the tabernacle in the center, and they're encamped all around it. And then you've got the tribes that kind of go off in each direction. So later, as they enter the promised land, we know that God assigned portions of land to each one of the tribes. And then when the temple was built, the Levites did the work of in the temple, the priests, the priesthood, and everything that came with that. But the thing I want to really look at here is the fact that God was their inheritance. And we know that in 1 Peter 2:9 it says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." So just as the Levites did not receive an inheritance of land, but they received God as their inheritance, we now are called that priesthood, that royal priesthood. We have received the inheritance of Christ in our life. And that should be the thing that should be the thing we desire most, is that inheritance of Christ. But we know that we can get caught up with cares of life and other desires, things that we want, things that we think are blessings from God, but really they can get our eyes off of him. You name it. But really, for the Christian, our desire should be to receive that inheritance of Christ. The one of the things that I really liked about this arrangement with the Levites was that they lived near the presence of God. They didn't, you know, they weren't off to the sides like the other tribes. They were always in close proximity to the presence of God where he dwelled in that tabernacle. And we too should be at a place where we're living in and near the presence of God. In the presence of God is everything we need. Peace, joy, rest, wisdom, hope, liberty. Everything that we desire, every good thing that we desire that the Lord wants us to have is found in him. We can try to pursue these things on our own. We can try to find peace. We see it with other religions. People do the meditations and things like that to try to come to a place of peace and stability in their inner self. But we know that in Christ is all peace. Joy. People seek all kinds of forms of happiness because they don't have that joy of the Lord in their life. But in Christ is that joy. Rest in Christ. We're told to come and seek wisdom from the Lord. All these things are found in Christ. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." If we want the joy of the Lord to be our strength, then we need to go to the joy giver. He is the one who brings all joy. And the fact is, that joy giver, Christ, he dwells in the center of that camp. He dwells, and we'll look at what the center of the camp is, but I want to drive this home that it's not out in the tribes, it's not out in the outskirts, it's in the center of the camp where his presence is. Godly wisdom, we want so much to have wisdom. We just talked about this yesterday, seeking godly wisdom. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. To get this wisdom, we have to go to the one who gives the wisdom. That is Christ, that is God, and he dwells at the center of this camp. We have to go to that place. Do you want peace in your life? We all want peace. I mean, at this time, we're going through this thing with this virus, and then you've got all the government stuff, and everybody's saying this, and the news is telling you that, and you got friends and family. Everybody's freaked out right now. But you can have peace through a time like this. Not that the world around you necessarily becomes peaceful, but inwardly, you can have the peace of God. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace that will guard your heart and mind only comes through Christ. Again, he's at the center of that camp. Do you want rest? Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest in Christ comes by taking his yoke upon yourself. This is a joining together with Christ. We see this picture of two oxen that are yoked together. And often I've heard the analogy given how when a new one is brought in, that they're yoked to an older, stronger one. And that older, stronger one really takes the lead and teaches that younger, weaker one what to do and how to do it. When we yoke ourselves to Christ, he is that older, stronger one, if you will. He does the heavy lifting. We just join ourselves to him and we cooperate with him. He teaches us of himself. We learn from him. And then, do you want to overcome in this life? Whether it be sin or trials or temptations, tribulations, what we're going through now, whatever it is. In 1 John 5:5, it says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? My question for you is, do you really believe that, like you say you do you really believe that Jesus is the one who has overcome and that through him you can overcome also? Again, Christ dwells at the center of the camp. If we want to overcome, then we must get to Christ and remain in him. For John 15 talks about the vine, that we must remain in Christ, in the vine, and he in us. If we want to overcome in this life, if we want to have peace, if we want rest, joy, all these things, then we must get to Christ and we must be in his presence. So, what is the center of the camp? It's not this church building. Okay? It's not a place, necessarily a physical place, although it can be here. It's a place within your life. It's a place that we come to where we finally seek Christ first in all things. It is a place where we seek him, we seek him for him. It's not we're seeking Christ because I want wisdom. I'm not seeking Christ because I want peace. I'm seeking Christ because I want Christ. I want relationship with him. He is my inheritance. And when I have him and he has me, then all these things that we want, all these things we desire, all the things we're commanded to seek him for, we can have. They're readily available to us. If I'm, thinking back as a kid, if I was never with my dad and I wanted something, it would be hard, kind of harder to go to him and ask for it. But because I'm with him all the time, and I had a relationship with him, it was easy for me to ask him for that $5 or whatever. I wanted some new shoes or something. It was easy to ask for it because I was with him. I had a relationship with him. I had a pretty good idea of whether he would give it to me or not. If we live a life where we're not actively in the presence of God, where we're not seeking him and we don't know him, we're just going to be coming to him with our own desires, our own wants. But Jesus said that we pray and ask anything in his name and we'll be given it. Well, that's for those who are in his presence and know his will. Those who are actively walking with him and seeking him. He begins to put his will into our life. He begins to affect us inwardly. And so then our prayers are ones that are in his will. The majority of Israel received land from God. We see that all the tribes, they're encamped all around the tabernacle. We know that once they entered into the promised land, that they would get a portion of land given to them. And that's nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's a blessing from the Lord. But as I look at this, and I look at Christians in the church today, so many are content to just get a little something from God. They get saved. The Lord maybe changes something in their life or blesses them somehow, and then they're content with just that. I'm good with this little piece of land. I'm just going to stay right here. But there's more for those who will seek him, who will move to the center of that camp. Again, in a sense, we can all be Levites because we're all called a royal priesthood. We can all look at God and he can be that inheritance to us. We can move beyond just, God, what can you do for me? And into, God, I just want you. I just want to be in your presence. I want to be joined to you. And then when we're in his presence, when we are joined to him, every good thing comes from that. Every blessing, everything we need to live this life and get through this life, more than get through this life, but be overcomers in this life. Every needed thing, when we find ourselves in a situation where I don't know what to say, but I do because the Lord has given it to me, the wisdom to make a decision. Sometimes I was thinking about this yesterday. We were talking about making the wise decision. Brother Luckett, he had made the point that, you know, maybe we think something through and we think this is a good idea, but the wisdom is no, go this way instead. The reality is, I think I was thinking about this, like, sometimes the wise thing looks like the foolish thing. The world would say you're nuts. Even other Christians would say you're wrong. But if you are in the presence of God and you know his voice and you're hearing from him, he may tell you to do something that is contrary to what everybody else thinks you should do. The wisdom is in God, not in our experience, not in what we've been taught, although those things can help, but it's in a wisdom that is given from above in the Lord's direction. It is in the presence of God that we find the ability and confidence to live life fully in God's will and to please him. If we are seeking him and we are getting to the center of the camp, if you will, getting to that place in our life where we are just walking with him, where we are at his feet. We've said it so many times. We look at the picture of Mary and Martha. Martha is busy doing and working and good things, but Mary was at the feet of Christ, just at his feet, actively in his presence, hearing from him, learning from him, getting to know his voice. It's in that place where when Jesus says that my sheep know my name, that's where we get to know his voice. That's where we get to know his voice. I've been talking about it a lot lately, but just I really believe this time that we're in, where so much has been taken away from us, it's just been stripped away. This is a blessing for us. The Lord is giving us an opportunity to sit at his feet. We always could, but now he's like, you know what? I'm just getting this stuff out of the way. Come sit at my feet. Come learn of me. Come learn from me. Get to know my voice. Get to know me. We're without excuse more than ever now. God wants his church to know him. In Exodus 33, starting in verse 12, we see Moses. And I don't know if this was the part of the passage you were referencing earlier, Pastor. Exodus 33, starting in verse 12, says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" What a promise from the Lord, that his presence will go with us. And Moses went to the Lord and met with him and said, "I need your help." And the Lord promised, "My presence will go with you. And as long as you're in my presence, you'll have rest." I mean, the Lord could have extraordinary work for you to do, and yet you can be at complete rest in his presence, doing his will. Continuing on in verse 15, "Then he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.' So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name.'" Moses realized that, man, Lord, if you don't go with me, I can't do this thing. I mean, he might be able to muster up the strength to do it, lead the people somehow or somewhat, but he recognized that there's not going to be any real blessing in this. There's not going to be any real success in this in a way that would please the Lord unless God's presence went before him and went with him. So too should be our lives and the way we live, where we just say, "Lord, look, I mean, I can do some of these things in my own strength, but God, to live in a way that is pleasing to you, in a way that live my life overcoming, living my life full of joy and peace and rest, I can't do it without you unless your presence go with me." And it is in his presence that we can have that rest. We talk so much about the rest of Christ, and it can be a difficult thing to try to really put into words. It's kind of, I've always thought it's kind of an abstract idea, like you know it when you're in it type of thing. But when Brother Turner was here last year, and he talked about the presence of God and the rest that's found, it was like, that's it. This isn't all that hard to understand. It's get to where the presence of God is. Stay in the presence of God. If he leads, follow. If he stops, stop. Don't get away from it. You'll know it. When you're in it, the peace that comes from it, but then when you get out of it, everything just seems to kind of fall apart. The peace is gone. The joy is gone. I just went through the past week. I was so frustrated with myself. I'm like, "Lord, I'm preparing to preach this thing, and here I am failing at it miserably." But something that happened last Friday, not this past one, but the week before, I had gotten an email, and it just kind of upset my apple cart a little bit. And I was really frustrated. And it led me to just start looking at other avenues to try to get out of something that I was in. And it was nothing sinful. It was just me getting focused on the cares of life. And I went to a couple of brothers and kind of explained what I was thinking and what I was doing, asked them to pray for me and that the Lord would give me wisdom. And the Lord answered that real quick for me. But I realized I'm getting caught up in the cares of life again. Even in praying and seeking the Lord for an answer, my heart wanted something. And I was trying to make that happen because I was upset about an email I got that frustrated me. And fast forward to Thursday, this past Thursday, the Lord answered that real quick for me, but I realized, "Lord, here I am. I understand this so well on an intellectual level at times, and yet I'm failing at doing the very thing I'm claiming to believe." And it's so easy. It is so easy for us to get caught up in the cares of life and to get off course with these things. But we need to remain at that place where Moses is saying, Lord, I got a big job ahead of me. You've called me to it. I can't do it unless you go with me. And this is true of every aspect of our life. We're not all Moses. We're not leading an entire nation of people. You may be in a place where you think, you know, I'm just going to work every day and doing my little thing. It's not that important. But if you're a child of God, it is that important. Whether you have a family you're taking care of or you're just a single person who is managing your own household, you go to your job every day. You've got people who are watching you. You've got coworkers who are observing you. You've got bosses who are seeing your attitude. You've got your family, whether it's your wife and kids or your husband and kids or it's your mom and dad or whatever. The Lord has you where you are for a purpose. And if you will just seek his presence and remain in his presence, it'll be, he will empower you. He will use you. Do not despise the place you're at. Go to him. Seek him for that direction. One of the problems we see in getting back to Numbers 11, in this passage where we see the fire burning up these people on the outskirts, is the fact that oftentimes we have people who are dwelling on the outskirts of the camp. These are born-again Christians oftentimes. I'm not questioning their salvation, although maybe sometimes they're not. They're part of the church, but they keep themselves on the outskirts of the camp. They won't go and pursue the Lord. They won't move to that inner place, that center of the camp where the presence of God is. And this shows itself, it can show itself in many ways. These are the complainers. They're never happy with anything. They're going to gripe about how a service is run. They're going to gripe about somebody didn't say hi to them or shake their hand. They don't like certain people. They don't like how we do this or that. It's the constant complaining. They're never happy with anything. It can be the compromisers. We go about life living it in a very pragmatic way where if it works, hey, well, I'll do whatever I can to make it work, as opposed to standing on their faith and the standards that Christ has set. These are the ones who are consumed with the cares of life. My job, it gets me down. I can relate to it. My job gets me down. But the Lord can, he can raise us up above these things. It's family things. Our families are a blessing to us, but how often do we get caught up in taking the kids to this activity or that activity, or we gotta achieve this, and they gotta have that, and we all the things we want that we think are so important, but the Lord's like, I'm so much more important than these things, than this baseball thing, or you know, than having you know this thing that your kids can play with, or. It's the keeping up with the Joneses thing. You know, the Lord is, he's got so much more for us than that, but we get caught up in these things. They're the bewildered ones who never know what the will of God is. If you're never moving into the presence of God, if you're never seeking him, if you're never drawing near to him, how will you ever know his voice? How will you ever know what his will is? They're easily swayed. They cause trouble in the camp by instilling fear and confusion. They have bad attitudes. I've done enough for the church. I've reached a certain age. I've done enough. It's somebody else's turn. Well, you know what? The Lord never stops. Neither should you. I'm not talking about doing things in the church, but don't restrict yourself from being used by God because I've just reached a point where I'm done. I'm 70 years old, I don't have to do anything anymore. It's not about that. Keep pursuing the Lord. Maybe he wants to move you into some other area. Maybe he wants to speak through you to those who are coming up in the Lord. These are the ones that are unwilling to be a part of the fellowship. Forsaking the assembly is not something that's restricting me from getting there. forsaking the assembly is me saying, you know what? I don't want to be a part of the assembly. I'm leaving behind. I'm abandoning the church. These people are contentious. They can't seem to get along with anybody. Everybody's out to get them, and it's everybody else's fault. They blame everybody else. They're full of worry and fear, and they're overcome with besetting sin. These are the ones who dwell on the outskirts of the camp. The Lord is saying, come to the center. Come to where my presence is. I can deal with all these things. And make no mistake, the Lord is going to deal with these things. We see the fire, and it's a pretty drastic thing that we read in these verses. The Lord's fire breaks out and consumes them. Understand that fire consumes, and you will be consumed with something in this life. Like it or not, you will be consumed. Now, you can choose, will it be, I'm going to move to the center of the camp where the presence of God is, and I'm going to let him consume me in all his glory, and I'm going to be consumed with him? Or are you going to dwell on the outskirts of the camp, and you'll be consumed with the cares of life? This life will consume you. Maybe it's you numb yourself with entertainment. Well, then you're consumed with that. Matthew 3:11, we see John the Baptist. He's talking about Christ coming on the scene. He says, he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. There will be a consuming. So, you know, you can choose. Lord, you can consume me, or I can get consumed with this life. Do you find yourself constantly mired down in sin or the cares of life? In Luke 21, starting in verse 34, it says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So, it's easy for us to talk about the sins, the big sins, right? Lying, don't lie, don't murder. You take it a step further, don't be angry with your brother without a reason. An unholy anger. Don't lust. All these things, these are the obvious things, but among these listed sins, we've got carousing, drunkenness. It says the cares of life. The cares of life, I am convinced, will knock more people out than any of these other sins, because it will get us distracted, it will get us off course, it'll take us away from the presence of God. We can become weighed down with these, and the weighing down, really, and here's where we can make some mistakes with this, I believe. We can get so caught up in looking for the sins and the cares of life. I had this thought that I could get so focused on trying to avoid the cares of life that it becomes a care of life. Where it might seem a little weird, but hear me out on this. The point isn't to look for these things and now I'm going to do something about these things. The point is, see Christ. And then he's going to deal with these things. Certainly, we must obey. We must respond. We must cooperate with him. But seek first the kingdom of God. Don't deal with these things first, and now I can go to you, Christ. No, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things really are more a symptom of the problem. The problem is not the outward sin. The problem is the heart issue that leads to the outward sin. If we look in these verses, it says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. The problem is a lack of watching for Christ, a lack of seeking Christ and praying to him. If we will look for him, if we will watch for him, if we will seek him, then these things can be dealt with on the inward part where it is most important. I mean, you can whitewash this thing. The Pharisees were whitewashed tombs, right? We can hide these things. You can even control some of these things outwardly, but what good does that do for your heart inwardly? focus on the heart of the issue, the source of the problem. Most of you know, I work in pest control. I've done that for the last 14 years. One of the things that we try to do when we go into a home or a commercial business, they say, okay, we got these fruit flies that are a problem. Okay, well, you know, they look at me and they say, well, fix it. Okay, well, you know, you're going to have to cooperate with me here. The problem is I can't come in and just spray everything. That will kill some fruit flies. But the real thing that needs to be done is we need to find the source of that problem. There is something that's been spilled and it's hidden that we need to find it, and we need to clean that up, and then all the fruit flies will go away. We had that happen in our house years ago. One of the kids doing the dishes put away a dirty dish. I'm like, where are these things coming from? I tore apart the cabinet, and sure enough, there it is. We got rid of that. The problem was gone. The same is true in our lives. Stop trying to treat symptoms. Deal with the problem. Get to the heart. And oftentimes, we don't even quite realize the fullness of where that lies. But if we will go to the Lord, if we will seek His presence and get into His presence, He is the one who searches our hearts. Scripture says, search my heart and know my ways. I can't even fully know the depths of my own heart. The Lord needs to search my heart. He needs to reveal to me what needs to be dealt with. And then He will deal with it if I will let Him and if I will cooperate with Him. Another example of this, a good doctor, if you go to a good doctor and you've got, you know, say you go with, you're having headaches all the time, and it turns out, I had this thought years ago, like, if it turns out you've got cancer, like a brain tumor, a good doctor's not going to just say, take some Tylenol and treat the symptoms. He's going to say, there's a bigger problem here. We need to get to that problem, and he's going to either cut it out or he's going to attack it with chemotherapy or radiation, something to that effect. He's not going to just say, take some Tylenol and go about your business and treat the symptoms. He wants to get to the root of the problem. So does our Father in heaven. So does Christ. He doesn't want to just teach us to be good people. He wants to get to the heart, and He wants to deal with that. And we can find that by entering into His presence. Do you find yourself overwhelmed with worry? This is so relevant, I guess, to the time that we're in. But it's take coronavirus away from it. So many of us are racked with worry and anxiety. The world is just stressed out, and too much of the church is too. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Again, worry, it's a symptom. It's a symptom of the real problem. This is something, there's a heart issue here that is showing up. The real problem is a lack of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Instead of trying to not worry, rather seek Christ. He is that kingdom, the kingdom of God. If we will seek Him first, if we will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to us. We don't need to worry then. I am so thankful for this trial that we're going through, this time that we're going through. The Lord has shown me, He has shown something to me that I've believed to this point, but I've never really had that much of an urgency to need to really lean on it till now. And that is to know that He will sustain me, that He will protect me, that He will provide for me. This is a small test, I believe. If we think that when we get through this, we're done and there's nothing more to come, we're lying to ourselves. I really believe there is more to come, whether it's a virus or something else, and the pressure is going to increase. And that's why the Lord wants us to learn His voice now, to learn to trust Him now. And I am so thankful that through this time, the Lord has shown Himself faithful to me, because I always believed that when the time come, I would need to trust in Him, that I can't get worried, that I got to believe Him. And I'm so thankful that I have not become overwhelmed with stress, with worry, with fear. And I attribute that all to God. I give Him all the glory for that, because it would be so easy. You've heard of this herd mentality where, you know, one person gets spooked and runs with it and the rest go with them. We don't need to do that, church. We don't need to do that. But we will. We will do that if we do not determine to enter into the presence of God and to know Him. Watching for Christ and praying, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, these are characteristics of dwelling in the center of the camp. If you have been dwelling on the outskirts of the camp, or even if you just aren't dwelling in the center where God's presence is, today is the day to make that move towards His presence. I've said it so many times before, I'm going to keep saying it, church. Now is the time. Get into the presence of God. If you've been messing around with something you shouldn't be, if you've just been lazy and not seeking Him, now is the time. Because more is to come. I just know it. And the Lord wants to prepare us, and He wants us to know His voice. You can walk confidently. You don't have to be full of fear. You don't have to be wondering, where are you, God? You can walk confidently knowing that He is leading you and guiding you. When the world is falling to pieces around you, you can have a peace inwardly. When everybody is at each other's throats, I mean, look at the climate around us. You go outside without a mask on and you might hear somebody saying, I hope you die of coronavirus. I mean, we see it, people post it on these comments. They're mad, the hate is rampant. We can have the joy of the Lord through it. Jeremy, if you want to come up. The presence of God dwelt in the tabernacle. To meet with God, Moses and Joshua had to enter that tabernacle. We see an example in Exodus 33:11. Now, this is actually before the instructions for the camp were given, but the principle is still the same here. In Exodus 33:11, it reads, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from that tabernacle." Joshua remained in God's presence. I believe that we can remain in God's presence no matter what we do, where we go. This is not a physical location. You don't need to come to this church building every single day to get in God's presence. All you need to do is seek the Lord every single day. Just walk with Him. Get to know Him. He has promised you that His presence will go with you and you will have rest. Psalm 27:8 reads, When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Will you seek the Lord? God just wants us to seek Him. Everything else, all the commands, everything He has for us to do, everything that will make us godly in Him, comes in us seeking Him and getting in His presence. If you choose to not obey Him, well then guess what? You're not in His presence anymore. It's as simple as that. If you're just going to say, I don't need to do that, well then you're not in His presence. He's not going to remain there. But if you will remain in His presence, then He will show you what you ought to do. He will deal with what needs to be dealt with. And then if you're going to choose to remain in His presence, you will respond to Him in obedience. It's that simple. Just remain in His presence. I'm going to finish with this. Jeremiah 29:11-14. This is a promise from the Lord to Jeremiah. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. It's really probably all to Israel. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek my face. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. So many of you, whether you're in this church building, at home, somewhere, in a sense, you've been driven. You've been driven out into the world. You've been caught up in so much of what's going on, whether it's this virus or anything else. Before this virus came along, it's not like people were not caught up in the cares of life. This is just revealing. I believe the Lord is using this to reveal our hearts and where we're at. God wants to bring us back from that. He's promised to bring us back from that. If you've been caught up in cares of life, maybe you're caught up in some sin, whatever it is, the Lord wants you to just get back into His presence. Don't try to fix yourself. Just go to Him. Let Him reveal. Let Him show you what you need to do. Yes, you're going to have to repent. But get back to His presence. I want to open up the altars here for anybody who wants to just get before the Lord. Jeremy's going to play a song, but if you're out in the other rooms, feel free to come, get at the altar, just or kneel at your chair. If you're at home, I encourage you to just get before the Lord, seek His face, get into His presence.